Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I never would have imagined this much interest in the concept of employment law, but I got a ton of emails in the last 36 hours involving at-will employees in Wisconsin. And who'd have thunk it? So Madeline Heim wrote the story for the Appleton Post Crescent that had the most recent version of the story. It is evolving, and very well the story could change in the next couple days. But here's where we are. And the headline says, "What to know about the battle over Fox Valley healthcare workers now playing out in court." What to know? It was unclear whether a group of former ThetaCare employees would be allowed to start their new jobs at Ascension Northeast Wisconsin soon after lawyers for both health systems made their appearances in court Friday morning. So here's what's going on. A bunch of workers from one hospital want to go work at another hospital. They are at-will employees, meaning there's no contract. They can be fired at any time, so they're also allowed to quit at any time. But because a bunch of them are quitting at the same time, the hospital's saying that's not fair. And they ran to court to stop them from being hired at the other hospital. So this is the latest development in a battle over healthcare employees that began earlier this last week, and is now playing out in court. It comes out as staff shortages strain health systems nationwide. Nearly one in five healthcare workers have quit their jobs since the beginning of the pandemic. ThetaCare requested Thursday that a county judge temporarily block seven of its employees who had applied for and accepted jobs at Ascension from beginning work there on Monday until the health system could find replacements for them. The employees were part of an 11-member interventional radiology and cardiovascular team, which can perform procedures to stop bleeding in targeted areas during a traumatic injury or restore blood flow to the brain in the case of a stroke. Each of them were employed at will, meaning they were not under an obligation to stay at ThetaCare for a certain amount of time. And ThetaCare could fire them at any time. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. So if you're at will, they can walk in one day and say, "Hey, we're letting you go, sorry." And you can walk in one day and go, "I'm leaving, sorry." That's what at will means. The County Circuit Court judge granted ThetaCare's request and held an initial hearing Friday morning. The case will get a longer hearing at 10 a.m. on Monday. But here's the thing. You've got a group of workers at one hospital who want to go work at another hospital. The injunction that was put in place basically says they can't do that. However, the court cannot order them to go and do their jobs at the old place either. So what they're in right now is a state of limbo where they can't work at either place, which doesn't help the first hospital at all, except by harming these employees and saying, "We're going to hurt you. Do you want to come back and work and make money? Or do you want to sit in the sidelines while we fight about this?" And that is really what's going on here. So the hearing will take place on Monday. Meanwhile, the judge told lawyers for both sides they should try to work out a temporary agreement by the end of the day about the employee's status between now and Monday's hearing. Otherwise, he said the order prohibiting them from going to work at the new hospital would be final until a further ruling was made. So that means that they are not working at the new hospital. They're also not working at the old hospital. And some people in the audience might be saying, "Steve, how come the judge can't order them to work at the old hospital until such time as he rules on them going to the new hospital?" Well, it's a thing called the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution provides that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to its jurisdiction. Involuntary servitude, which is what that would be if you force someone to work against their will, and that is unconstitutional. So the judge cannot order them to work at the old hospital. He can prevent them from working at the new hospital. That's it. And by the way, the attorneys from the hospital knew that going in. So they basically are playing a game of chicken with these workers going, "If you guys want to make money, if you got to feed your families, got to make your house payments, well, you can come back and work for us until this is decided." So the judge said to me, that is a poor result for everyone involved, that the workers wouldn't be working anyplace. In the lawsuit, lawyers for ThetaCare wrote that Ascension had shockingly chosen to poach the employees during a stressful time for healthcare. More COVID-19 patients are hospitalized in the Fox Valley now than at any other time during the pandemic, according to the Wisconsin Hospital Association data. And ThetaCare has canceled non-emergency surgeries to make space. They'd shockingly chosen to poach the employees. If anybody ever shockingly poaches your employees, what you might want to do is find out if they're being paid more money by the poacher and maybe offer to match that money. I mean, you're allowed to do that, you know. A statement from Ascension said the employees were not recruited, but instead decided to apply for job openings that had been posted. It was Ascension's understanding that ThetaCare had the opportunity to make counteroffers, but declined. So ThetaCare, according to Ascension, knew that these people simply were going to work for more money and could have matched the offers, but didn't. So an attorney who represented ThetaCare Friday argued that losing the majority of these employees poses a health threat to the region because the health system's hospital is a hub for high-level stroke care and care for patients with traumatic injuries. ThetaCare Neenah is a level 2 trauma center, part of which means they have specialists like interventional radiologists available regularly. Ascension St. Elizabeth, a level 3 trauma center, can provide initial support to trauma patients and is able to transfer them to ThetaCare Neenah for more care, according to definitions from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Meanwhile, one of their facilities is a comprehensive stroke center, which also means having specialists available regularly. Another one they have is a primary stroke center, a designation which does not stipulate having those staff available around the clock. In the time it takes to divert a local patient in need of emergency care for a stroke or trauma to another similarly certified hospital, the patient could die. But of course, keep in mind that while this injunction's in place, these people aren't working there either. See, the people who were working there wanted to leave, so they're no longer at the old hospital. The old hospital files an injunction to keep them from working at the new hospital, but they still aren't working at the old hospital. So it doesn't solve the hospital's problem. That, I think, is what most people are upset by here. An attorney who represents Ascension said their hospital was capable of caring for such patients in the event that it was necessary, even though they are not designated at the same level as ThetaCare. The attorney argued that ThetaCare had weeks to come up with better offers to keep their employees or figure out alternate staffing solutions, and instead chose to initiate court actions days before the workers were set to start at Ascension. And he said this results in a mess of ThetaCare's own making. In the complaint, ThetaCare wrote that the organization found out December 21st that 4 technicians had accepted offers and then learned December 29th that 2 nurses planned to make the move. And on January 7th, they learned an additional nurse planned to quit and work at Ascension. Ascension had offered the employees a better benefits package that ThetaCare did not match, according to the attorney. Meanwhile, an Appleton resident, one of the 7 employees involved in the system's dispute, submitted a letter to the judge before the hearing describing his experience. One of his colleagues received an offer from Ascension that was attractive not just in pay but also a better work-life balance, which caused others in the team to apply. After approaching ThetaCare with the chance to match the offers they'd been given, he wrote that they were told the long-term expense to ThetaCare was not worth the short-term cost and no counteroffer was made. So they had the opportunity to match it, according to the litigants, and chose not to take it. And now they're saying, okay, we don't want them to leave. We understand the court can't force them to work for us, but we can get the court to stop them from working for them. It's a lot of stuff to unpack here, and I'm going to try to do this as best I can. But what's going on here is a temporary restraining order or an injunction. And you can go into courts in America that have the jurisdiction to do this, like circuit courts in Michigan, and it's usually the upper-level trial courts because they can do equity. And equity is when you ask a court to do something other than award money damages. That's one of the things that we can define it as. If I go into court and say this person violated a contract, they breached a contract with me, and the resulting breach of the contract cost me money, I can sue them for money damages. However, if they breached the contract in some way that cannot be monetized, then you can sometimes go into court and ask for injunctive relief. So I'll give you the best example. I find out that there's going to be some event happening in some city, and I look into it and I realize there's only one good ballroom in that city. And I go, wait a second. I can rent that ballroom and I'll have it for this big event. And I can make a lot of money doing that. So I'm going to do that. I put the money down. I rent the ballroom. I start making advertisements and flyers and explaining what I'm going to be doing in this ballroom. And a week before the event, somebody else comes along to the person who owns the ballroom and says, hey, you realize that that Steve Leto guy is going to throw a party here? He's going to make a ton of money doing that. How about this? Break your contract with him, and I'll go in with you, and we'll make more money, and I'll pay you more money, and let's do that. Now, if the person does indeed break the contract with me because someone else came along and offered them more money, I can run to court and say, I want to sue them for money damages because I'm about to lose a ton of money because I put all the money up to get this party going. But number two, I can't necessarily ask the court to force them to let me do my party because it would be a form of involuntary servitude, possibly. But the court could order them to not let anyone else use that hall but me. So they won't let me do it. No one can do it. And at that point, the person who runs the hall can look at it and go, I can let Steve Leto do it, and maybe he'll drop his lawsuit, and everyone will be happy. Or I can sit on the sideline, not let anyone do this, and his lawsuit's going to win because he's got a good contract. And there are a lot of occasions in life where people will look at a contract they've signed and go, you know something, I can breach this contract, make a little more money over here. And so when you break a contract to make a little more money, and courts know that, well, one easy way to solve that is to say, fine, let's put you in a position where you won't benefit from breaking that contract. So they've gone to court and said, we don't like the fact that people all left us as a group. We can't ask the court to force them to come back and work, because that'd be unconstitutional, but we can ask the court to bar them from working at the new place until we get this resolved. And so a court can do that. Now, a lot of people are going, Steve, that's still wrong. It's still wrong. These people have got families and house payments, car payments, got to put food on the table. That's wrong. I agree with you, it's wrong. I agree with you. And I think the judge is actually bluffing on this because Friday was the last hearing. Monday is the next hearing. Weekend is a nice long period for people to think about their futures. And I think that he's hoping the parties can get together and figure out how to resolve this so those people can go back to work. Now, theoretically, they could say, well, we'll go back and work at our old jobs until this is resolved. But number one, who's going to want to do that? Number two, would you really want employees working for you who don't want to work for you for a brief period of time, knowing they're going to leave as soon as they can? But that's the path they've chosen. So I think the judge is hoping that'll happen. But here's the other thing. When you look at whether or not you're going to grant an injunction, you're the judge, I'm the judge, we have two parties before us, and one party's seeking an injunction, a temporary restraining order. And I know this because I've gotten them before. I've actually gone to court and gotten a temporary restraining order and an injunction forbidding somebody from doing something. And I'll do a video about that somewhere down the road. Remind me in about 2 weeks. And you go into court and you say, number one, you file a lawsuit. You got to file a lawsuit. Get a complaint going. You file the lawsuit. Once you get a judge assigned, then you run to that judge and you say, Your Honor, we've got an emergency motion that's got to be heard. And here it is. And depending on how much time you have, the judge might actually act on it before notifying the other side it even exists. But the judge will almost always say, take steps to let them know that you're doing this so we can get them in here as quickly as possible. But if there's a situation where there's imminent harm and you literally don't have that kind of time, those kinds of injunctions can be granted temporarily, temporary restraining order, TRO. So when the parties come in front of the court, and one side is saying, Your Honor, we want a temporary restraining order to stop them from doing something, hiring away our people. And the judge is looking at this. Now, remember, there's an underlying lawsuit that's been filed. Lawsuits, as we know, take forever. A couple of years sometimes to go to trial. Nowadays, even longer. COVID, right? So if it's going to take a couple of years to get to the meat of this case, that doesn't answer the question about where these workers go. So presumably, they're suing for some kind of damages or something, but they're also suing to block these workers. These workers can't sit on the sidelines for 2 years waiting to find out if they can go to their new jobs. So what the court does is they look at a bunch of different factors. And one of the factors they look at, believe it or not, is what the odds are of the person who's asking for the injunction, what the odds are they're going to win, okay? If they have a high likelihood of winning on the merits at the end, Well, the judge is more likely to grant it than otherwise. However, there's a couple other things, and one of them is you have to plead some kind of irreparable harm. Why do you have to grant this now? Why can't we look at this 2 years down the road? Irreparable harm. That's the one, I assure you, that the hospitals are hanging their head on. The old hospital, the former employer. They're saying, look, it's irreparable harm if someone shows up Monday and they need one of these people that we don't have and couldn't replace, someone could die. That, by definition, is irreparable harm. But there's a couple other things here going on as well. And one of them is that there's really no other way to resolve the issue and that there's no monetary equivalent for what you're doing. Because if it's a simple breach of contract that can be reduced to numbers, you can say, we don't need to resolve that today. We'll go to trial, you get a check somewhere down the road, if you're right. But there's also a couple other problems. And the primary issue is who gets harmed the most by either granting or not granting the motion for the TRO, the request for the TRO. And Hospital A is saying, we're going to suffer irreparable harm, or at least our patients are, and we somehow get to benefit from that. So we would suffer the harm, therefore we get this TRO in place. But the real issue here is, what about the workers? The workers are being harmed also because their earnings go to zero. Their earnings go to zero. So the hospital is saying, to prevent us from being harmed, the workers all become unemployed until we resolve this. And that to me is a problem because the hospital's not really suffering harm. Their patients are, if patients go there. And on some level, that's speculative. We don't know that someone's going to walk in tomorrow with one of these problems you're talking about. And it also sounds like the other hospital could take care of them. I mean, these people aren't leaving the country. They're going to another hospital that apparently is fairly close by. No mention here is made of anybody relocating for the job. And the other thing I'd have to point out is if you play chess, okay? If you play chess, they often talk about thinking moves ahead, right? If I move here, you're going to move here. I'd move here, you move here, and you'd have me. So I'll tell you what, I won't move that first piece. And you do that kind of thought process all the time playing chess. It's true also in other aspects of life, especially litigation. So back up about a week, and you had Hospital A saying, we've got a bunch of people who are leaving, all going to Hospital B. Do we like this? No, we do not. They've said they'll stay if we give them raises. Do we want to give them raises? No, we don't. Okay, then what do we do? What's Plan B? Plan A is to match the offer. Plan B, what can we do? Let's sue them and get a temporary restraining order to keep them from going to work at Hospital B. And somebody's going to say, well, you do understand that if you sue them, the hospital and the workers, and you get a TRO to where they cannot work for Hospital B, the judge can't order them to work for you guys. So scenario one, the people leave, you don't have your workers. Scenario two, you file a TRO, you still don't have your workers. What have you gained by filing that TRO? How did that help you any? And somebody would have to say, gee, that doesn't help us at all, does it? Now, you might think it'll give you leverage to keep those people on for a little while. And that's what they say they want. They say they want some time to find replacement workers. But keep in mind that filing the TRO does not bring those workers back and force them to work for you. It simply says they cannot work at Hospital B. So if we think this through, we file the lawsuit, get the TRO, and stop them from working someplace else, what did that benefit us? And oh, by the way, there's two issues that involve money here that are very, very important. And the most obvious one that I assure you by now, half of you are starting to type out or have already started to type out, is that the amount of money spent by the attorneys working for Hospital A, it ain't cheap to run into court and get a temporary restraining order and an injunction in an emergency setting on short notice to where you get a hearing on Friday and another hearing on Monday. And all this stuff was probably filed late Thursday or Friday. So they're spending a boatload of money on legal fees, and the net result is it simply keeps the workers from going to hospital B. The question is, and I would ask this if I was a judge, I would say, guys, how much money are you charging your client? And if we divided it up among the workers, would it have paid their raises for a little while? Because you could have done that. You could have said, hey, guys, give us a month. We'll give you raises for the month. And at the end of the month, after we found replacements for you, go work fine. You know, you could have done that. Could have made them an offer. Didn't, did you? But the point is that there's legal costs. But more importantly, and this is something I've not seen mentioned in any of the news coverage, is that quite often when you go into court and you're asking for an injunction, temporary restraining order, it is an extraordinary action. It is not a typical thing. It is extraordinary in the true meaning of the word extraordinary. And when you go into court and say, Your Honor, we are so confident we're going to win, and we're so righteous, and we're the ones who are going to be harmed, not them, that we want you to grant this motion and issue an injunction forbidding the other side from doing something, the court can say, you know, it's mighty big language of you, sir. How about this? Post a bond. And a lot of case law and court rules will say that the judge can, if he wants to or she wants to, can order the party seeking injunction to post a bond because it looks like someone could get hurt here. Now, the hospital A is saying, we're going to get hurt. We want the TRO to keep us from getting hurt. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a rocket lawyer to say, but wait a second, who's really getting hurt here are the workers who want to quit and go to higher pay. And you're saying that they cannot collect that higher pay until a future date. They are obviously losing money. And guess what? If you, Hospital A, want to take these people and put them on the sideline, and you're so convinced you're going to win that you want us to grant an injunction now to stop it from happening, how about you post a bond of a couple weeks of salary for each of them? And we'll put it aside, and it'll be there as a show of good faith. Show us that you guys have good intentions. Put that money aside, and when we dissolve the TRO and either make it permanent or make it disappear, we'll decide what to do with that bond. Because if it turns out that you have no legal basis to stop at-will employees from leaving, then we're going to award them money for their damages, because that would make sense. And by the way, let me ask you a question. And a lot of judges I see do not ask these questions, but I've also seen a few who would. The question I would ask is this. I would get the guys, the attorneys from Hospital A, who are filing this lawsuit. And I would say, let me ask you a question. We're living in unusual times right now. COVID. All kinds of things are happening, wacky and weird. If your hospital had a board meeting and they said, hey, everybody, weird times we're living in. We're having a real hard time right now financially. And we're not getting as many calls involving these kinds of medical issues that these seven or eight people deal with. We're not getting as many of those calls as we'd like. We're going to lay off those people Monday. We're going to literally wait till they come in on Monday and hand them notices saying, guys, you're all let go. Sorry, don't need you anymore. If your hospital board had decided to do that and you handed those people their termination notices because they're at will, if they filed an injunction and asked for a temporary restraining order to keep you from firing them, would you have agreed to that, or would you be in your right now fighting against it? Because you know that if the situation was reversed, they'd say, that's insane. You can't sue us to keep your at-will jobs. That's crazy. And that's the question you ask an attorney. And you ask them that in open court. And you just say, I got a question for you, simple question. What if this was reversed? How would you ask me to rule then? Because you know they can't with a straight face go, oh, no, we'd come into court and say, Your Honor, I guess you got us. We'll keep them working for us at will until such time they find other jobs. No, of course you wouldn't do that. And so you force the attorney to at least admit that what you're asking for is extraordinary. It is extraordinary. So if I was the judge on Monday morning, I'd bring the parties in and go, guys, here's the deal. We got some at-will employees who want to go to better, greener pastures. Right? Right. Is this state at-will? It is. Okay. They're allowed to do that. And the only complaint Hospital A can really make is that somehow, because this kind of leaves them short-staffed on short notice somewhat, that it's going to cause them harm, or at least harm to their patients. But it is at will. They had some notice, and they were asked to match it, and they didn't, and they chose to spend their money not on matching salaries, but on legal fees. So, Hospital A, how long is it going to take you to find replacements? And if they gave an answer that was longer than a week, I'd say, sorry, you don't get that much time. And I'd say, you understand that I can't make them come back to work for you. So all you're doing at this point is parking them and putting them on the side. So you know something? I was hoping you guys would resolve it over the weekend because we like resolutions better than anything else. But I'm going to dissolve the TRO right now. And you might want to go brush up on what at will means, because this is silly. So it's a crazy case. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. And a lot of the stuff depends on what kind of judge you get. If you get a judge who's really, really far to one side or the other with respect to their leanings, you can get rulings that can be all over the place. But as of right now, there is a temporary restraining order in place, an injunction in place, that forbids these workers from going to work at the new hospital. But likewise, the judge can't order them to go work at the old hospital. And so you ask yourself, what did Hospital A think they were accomplishing here? Especially by spending money on lawyers rather than spending it on the technicians. And yes, I am a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. And I look at this kind of stuff and I'm ashamed of it. I really am. And I apologize on behalf of lawyers who look at this and go, this is a silly case. It's bad. Because right now there are workers out there who were doing very, very important work and simply wanted to go work someplace they'd make more money, which is the American way. And they're being sued for it. So Madeline Heim wrote the story for the Appleton Post Crescent. What to know about the battle over Fox Valley healthcare workers now playing out in court. And it was sent to me by pretty much everyone on earth. Robert, Keegan, Andrew, Joshua, Jack, Anna, Justin, Shannon, Chris, Owen, Ryan, Tanya, Colin, Clint, David, Richard, Alex, Steve, Stephen, Alan, Ramesh, Nicholas, Pascal, Matthew, Bobby, Curtis, John, Andrew, Andy, Benjamin, Jim, Robert, Justin, and Alec. Thanks, everybody. Questions or comments below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
When you feel like giving up, remember why you held on for so long in the first place.